Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 28. Christ's instruction on humbly helping versus striving for rank in God's service. Christ's call for his disciples to deny themselves and to take up their cross to follow him in Matthew 16, 24, in reference to servants to God, will have its reward in heaven, providing they properly handle the issue of rank. Matthew 20, 17-28 provides Christ's instruction on the issue, and we view it for our insight. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 17 and going to verse 28. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, bowing down, actually, before him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What do you wish? She said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on your right hand, the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They, that would be the sons, said unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard of it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Okay, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem and heading for the cross, he took the 12 disciples aside and began to tell them about the cross he would face, followed by his resurrection, and of course, after the resurrection, eventually it would be the crown. Jesus explained that the Son of Man, and that's a prophecy, a reference to the prophecy in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, who would eventually ascend up to the Father, the Ancient of Days, in that verse, and receive an indestructible eternal kingdom over all men, that's in verse 14 of Daniel 7, would first face terrible series of events. He'd be betrayed into the chief priests and the scribes. They would condemn him to death, deliver him over to the Gentile Romans to mock, to scourge, and to crucify him and putting him to death. However, the Son of Man would rise again from the dead. That's what Jesus said in the last part of verse 19. And following that event, he would begin to fulfill the Daniel 7, 13, and 14 prophecy in ascending to the Ancient of Days. And of course, Jesus did that. You'll remember in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Jesus, after telling his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel and so forth, he ascended up to heaven. A cloud came and took him out of their sight, and the disciples were gazing up into heaven, and the angel appeared to them and said, Why are you gazing at this Jesus? The one who's gone, he shall come in the same manner as he left. In other words, he's going to be coming back in the clouds of glory just as he left. And he left from the Mount of Olives. It's interesting, in Zechariah 14, the Lord returns at the Mount of Olives. He's coming back that way. Nevertheless, this prediction about Jesus' cross before the crown, that was not understood by the disciples due to their spiritual dullness. And the mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, came with her sons to Jesus, bowing down to him and asking that her sons sit on his right hand and the other on his left hand, one on the right and one on the left. The event may have been occurred due to Jesus' Matthew 19, 28 prediction that the disciples would sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And there was a desire for the sons to have the loftiest of those thrones. You know, if there are going to be 12 thrones around, they wanted to be the highest of the 12. This is interesting. Well, Jesus then addressed the sons, because the word you in verse 22 And we don't have a plural you versus a singular you. We have to figure that out from the context in English. But in Greek, the you is spelled differently if it's plural than if it's singular. And in the Greek text, the you here is plural. And that indicates that the sons had been the ones who urged their mother to make the request. The mom just wasn't making the request. The sons are behind it, egging the mother on to make it. And they had their mother appeal to Jesus in their behalf. It might not look so forward and so proud, but Jesus knew what was going on. So he knows what's happens between sons and their mother. He's the God of all flesh, of course. And so the Lord Jesus stated that they did not know what they were asking. He then asked if they were able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. Now, in God's program, the cross always precedes the crown. And just as Jesus had to go through the terrible cross before ruling in his messianic throne, so these men had to go through suffering and martyrdom before ruling on the 12 thrones of Israel in Christ's coming kingdom. But they obviously did not understand what the terms drinking the cup of and being baptized with referred to. They referred to suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus. Well, the sons, not realizing what Jesus had meant by the terms cup and baptism, claimed that they were able to partake of them, and Jesus replied that they would indeed do so. In fact, we know from Acts chapter 12, verse 2, that James, one of the two sons here of Zebedee, James was the first one apparently to be martyred by Herod. Well, it was not Jesus, but God the Father who decided who would sit on Christ's right and left hands in the kingdom. In verse 23, it is not mine to give, but it shall be given unto them for whom it is prepared of my Father. God the Father is the one who apparently is dealing with these rewards of position in the coming kingdom. Well, the other disciples heard the conversation, and they became upset that James and John had tried to surpass them in rank in Christ's kingdom. So Jesus called them all aside to teach them the need of humbly facing the cross before the crown in their lives when it comes to the issue of rank and serving the Lord. Jesus explained that the Gentile rulers lorded literally over their subjects in selfish ways. In other words, this is where they dominated. However, that was not to be the function of his disciples as they served the Lord. Rather, whoever desired to be great among Jesus' followers was to be the one who stooped to serve the needs of other brethren. And whoever desired to be first in rank over the others was to be the slave in the sense of bearing the unsavory but the unnecessary, but the necessary burdens of the rest of the body of the disciples. Incidentally, this is a big, big problem in many, even evangelical churches today. There's a tendency for pastoral staff or pastors or board leaders and everything to kind of feel their weight as leaders and try to use it to dominate other people and to put people down. That's not what God wants. And we've worked hard over the years at New Park Church to teach just the opposite and to practice the opposite. And to clarify, when we get together in the board meetings, I talk to the other men and share in lots of ways, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for the benefit of the people of the church. So what can we do in the decisions that we make here that's best going to help the body of Jesus Christ and honor the Lord? And this is something that by now the board feels very, very strongly about that, and I'm very grateful for that. Well, as the ultimate illustration of this truth, Jesus concluded that he had not come to earth in his first advent to be served by others, but to minister in behalf of the needs of others, to give his life through the horrible mistreatment of the cross that is described back in Matthew chapter 20, 18 and 19 to be a ransom for many. It's a very touching verse there, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I think it's an amazing thing when you stop to consider that our Creator, our Lord, is the one who bore our sin on his body on the tree, that we might have eternal life. And if our Lord stooped to that horrible servitude of bearing our sins that we might have eternal life, And that's the example for us. That shows us that we are obligated to turn around and to see what we can do, stooping to do sometimes the most menial jobs or sometimes the difficult ones, to help others around us, believers around us who are in need. So the lesson is in the cross before the crown discipleship path to which God called them. Jesus told his disciples not to strive for high human rank, but stoop to bear the burden most needed to help others if they would be truly great in God's view. And that much as Jesus, who would give of himself on the cross to bear the sins to redeem them. So, in the footsteps of Jesus, may we not strive for rank, but strive to meet the needs of other brethren. The Lord applied this in a moving way today. I was talking with Chris and Dave about the memorial service that was coming up for Chris's husband and Dave's father. And they were somewhat apologetic. They had to make their plans in reference to the funeral home by a certain time, and they hadn't had a chance to talk with me, even though they would wanted me to do the service. And Dave says, you know what? We need to go ahead and make this Donald fit in, you know, talking to me. He'll fit in with what we've got. Let's just make the plan because the funeral director needs to have this, and we've got to do this now instead of waiting until next week. So they went ahead. And I think they felt a little bad, or Chris felt a little bad about it. She talked to me about that today, and I say, Chris, I'm glad that Dave actually felt free to just go ahead with the plan and just expect that I would fit in, because that's exactly what I want to do in this case. You are the folks that are bearing the burden, and we're supposed to come along and try to bear the burden with you. What we bear is very light compared to what you're bearing. So the fact that you went ahead and just made the program up and expected me to fit in is, to me, it's like a compliment, because I'm thrilled that you felt free to do that with me as a pastor, because that's what I want to do. And I was thinking of this lesson and sharing that with him, because the Lord was applying this here. The goal isn't to strive for rank, but to meet the needs of others. The Slates right now really need us. Here it is. It's not far from Christmas. They've lost a husband and a father and a grandfather and a father-in-law. And they've got another big family issue coming up on Saturday. They've got Jill's birthday coming up. And they didn't want the funeral to be on the same day as Jill's birthday on Monday, so they had to do it early. And I'm glad that I get to help out by just fitting in with the program that they have. I told them the only way that I would ever put the brakes on something that was planned without me being there would be if what had been planned would hurt the testimony of the church. But I said, you folks don't do that. You're very concerned about the testimony of our church, and you wouldn't do something that would threaten that testimony. So I trust you implicitly in regards to this. But it just hammered home to me again the tremendous need that we have. And there are needs around us. We have lots of brothers and sisters in Christ that have needs. A lot of them are hurting. Well, what God would want us to do is to say, what can I do to help? How can I bear the burden and go from there?